This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Each and every day here on the Jeff Calkins Show, we welcome Chris Harrington to the program. Let's fire it up. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Pretend I Never Happened by the great Willie Nelson from his Phases and Stages album. Willie speaking on behalf of last night's Grizzlies-Clippers game, which I guess we'll talk about anyway.
Should we?
I guess we have to.
Okay, so I guess this is where I would start with you. How troubling is a performance like that?
Well, a little bit, I would say. I mean, it was a game set up. It was sort of a bad spot.
It could have definitely been considered a schedule loss.
Yeah, it's second night of a back-to-back on the road, last game before the All-Star break in Los Angeles, where, like, you know, Los Angeles, not, you know, L.A. nightlife, et cetera, et cetera. It's against a Clippers team that has Kawhi Leonard, which has not always been the case this season. That has not been a great matchup for the Grizzlies. And then you find out, like, there's no John Morant and no Vince Williams right before, you know. And so I don't think many people were expecting the Grizzlies to win. In fact, the Clippers, I think, were actually pretty heavy favorites in that game. So there is all of that to it. But the Grizzlies are now, I believe, 1-7 this season against the Thunder, Clippers, and Rockets. And I say those, I put those three teams together not out of randomness or not just because the Grizzlies have lost to those particular teams. Those are the three best defenses in the West. And in fact, the Thunder and Clippers are the two best defenses in the NBA this season. And those are defenses that have lots of big, physical, aggressive perimeter defenders. And those teams, Rockets and Clippers in particular, I think, I haven't looked at the numbers, I think this is true, force a lot of turnovers against the team in the Grizzlies that is susceptible to turning the ball over a bunch. They turned it over 21 times last night. And so I think, you know, this offense that's predicated so much on attacking off the dribble, when it runs into the teams that have the best on-ball defenders in the league, which maybe those three teams are, along with Boston maybe, are top of the list, and maybe even those three teams more so, like, it's been an issue. Now, like, having John Morant, I think, will be helpful with that game quite a bit. But I do think you look at the way the Grizzlies have struggled against those three defenses in particular and what they have in common. I mean, I think, you know, that there's a real pattern there.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I struggle, because I don't know what to make of the turnovers. Because on the one hand, it's like, okay, they're second in the league in turnovers per game. And even though they're playing at a faster rate, they're still, they're still
like
fourth in turnover percentage.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's like, when you start to look at some of the worst teams in the league, that's who they're around. And then the Clippers also turn the ball over at a very high rate.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't quite know what to do with that, but it's like, at the same time, it's like, you can kind of formulaically go by this. If the Grizzlies turn it over 19 times or more, they're going to lose. I think there's something like 3-10 if they turn it over more than that. And so, like, I that's kind of where I don't know, is that a structural problem? Is that a no duh if you turn it over that much? And like, because I think that's kind of the other problem. It's not just that they're turning it over. It feels like they turn it over in live ball situations where it just becomes a layup.
Well, I mean, Kawhi Leonard and Chris Dunn were literally just pocket picking and then taking it the other way in that game. And so, I mean, the turnovers are a problem for the Grizzlies. They have had a top five offense even with their turnover problem. But to me, I just look at it more as a specific matchup issue that you may well face in the playoffs, because those are three teams you could face in the playoffs, in the Thunder, the Rockets, and the Clippers. And it feels like you just have to be better, obviously, but B, maybe you need to tweak more what you're doing. Maybe beat your man one-on-one thing, it's not like quite as like doesn't work quite as well when like your man is Kawhi Leonard or Amen Thompson or Lou Dort or whatever, yeah. And so maybe you get back into some more pick and roll where you're like, you get a pick that's helping you shake a defender a little bit better. Maybe you're trying to get the ball into the paint a little bit more with the pass instead of the dribble, and mix in some Jaren post-up stuff. I think they were at their best in that game when Desmond Bane just got hot and he's rolling threes, right?
And when Zubac picked up that maybe it's because we talked about it yesterday, but it was hilarious to see, like, the Clippers get to the hot start, Zubac picks up his second foul, and then immediately the Grizzlies go, like, on a 13-2 run.
Yeah, so I just think, this offense has been so predicated on dribble penetration, and it's like Jaren has been great off the dribble. But again, if you're being guarded by like Kawhi Leonard or you're being doubled, and if he's going one-on-one against Zubac off the dribble, that's one thing. If he's got doubles coming his way or he's getting guarded, by other more perimeter-oriented players, it doesn't work quite as well either. So I just think this idea that they've been trying to build offensive diversity, they've been trying to build it with this dribble drive game, but in some of these matchups, you need to go maybe to some of the other stuff that's going to help you more. And so I don't want to make too much of it, but it's going to be interesting to watch the team coming out of the break. And they're going to have, I think, two more games against the Clippers, and they're done with the Rockets. But they're going to have two more games against the Clippers. I think they have two more against the Thunder.
They also have two against Cleveland. They have both Cleveland games. There's a Boston home game.
Yeah, Cleveland's a different kind of team, though.
Yeah.
Cleveland's a good team, but Cleveland is a team that mirrors the Grizzlies. I'm actually writing a little bit about this in a mailbag I'm working on today in response to a question. The Grizzlies team construction is very similar to the Cavs team construction. And like, they're both really good, but they both have similar questions about playoff basketball. And so the Grizzlies Cleveland game is going to be interesting to me for different reasons, but Cleveland doesn't present the same kind of problem defensively that like the Clippers and the Rockets and the Thunder do.
It is funny how we were talking about, we haven't quite turned to playoffs, but it's like these last two games in stark contrast to me. It's like, if the Suns were to get out of the play-in, let's say the Grizzlies finished second and the Suns got out of they got the seven out of the play-in, that would not fear me. The Grizzlies dropped to three and the Clippers stayed at six. Like, that is a playoff series that I want no part of.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so, the Grizzlies sort of are in the spot where they are so clearly better than like the middle of the West, but it's not clear that they are worth their seeding, relative to the higher teams in the West. And so, they just run off on the Suns in terms of, they're undefeated against the Suns, undefeated against the Spurs. They are, I think, 2-1 against the Wolves. Maybe undefeated, I can't remember. But, there are these specific teams that really, really are giving them problems. And it's a concern for playoff basketball.
Felt like the Grizzlies really missed Vince Williams last night.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't had him enough to really know yet. But I think, your best ball handler and your best perimeter defender are both, I believe, that Ja Morant and Vince Williams are those things in this team. Both those guys out, you're really missing a lot. I'm very intrigued to see Vince Williams post-break and whether – As his minutes go up, does he get in a little bit better groove offensively? But B, does this pattern of the team is just better when he's on the floor, does that pattern continue? I suspect it will. Not like every single game, but as a pattern, I suspect it will continue. But it's something, we'll find out after the break.
Where it stood out to me was a little bit what we were talking about yesterday. It felt like in the Phoenix game, and maybe this is a byproduct of Phoenix versus the Clippers. Like, the Clippers are better than Phoenix. That's undeniable. But it just felt like on Tuesday night, there were a lot of rebounds that were truly like 50-50 balls, and the Grizzlies came away with them. Whereas last night, it felt like the Clippers got all those rebounds. Like, and to me, it's like, that was where I was like, that's kind of where I think they miss Vince.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, these are radically different teams in terms of the Clippers and the Suns. Like,
yeah.
The Clippers are second in the NBA defensively, and the Suns are like 25th. And the Clippers have been winning all year. They have Kawhi now, but they've been winning without Kawhi all year, and it's because of just hustle guys. So, you know, it's because of Derrick Jones Jr. and Chris Dunn and these kind of guys. And Phoenix, to the degree that they've won, is because Kevin Durant makes a bunch of shots. Like, it's not because they have hustle guys or they, you know, they're like opposite kind of teams, really, Phoenix and the Clippers.
Do you find yourself enjoying watching the Clippers?
I mean, I might enjoy them if I were a Clippers fan, I guess. I mean, it's sort of, you know, it's the kind of team that is really frustrating to play against, I think. So if you're watching it from the perspective of the other team, I don't know how much I enjoy them. I do like get after a defense, but it's also a get after a defensive team with James Harden having the ball a lot. And that I don't find particularly enjoyable. So no, the Clippers wouldn't be high on my list of just teams I would enjoy to watch, I don't think.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same mode as you. Like, I respect them, and but it's not something like, it feels like the type of team where if you're a fan of them, there's plenty that you can enjoy because they play hard, like you said, they're good defensively. But it's like, if you have, I don't know if they're high on the league pass ranking. I think that's probably fair, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's take a look at, all right, now that we're at the All-Star break, when you look and assess what you've seen from Edie so far, like, how do you grade, I know it's technically not the first half of the season, but how do you grade the pre-All-Star break that we've seen out of Zach Edey?
He's a guy who I think when you look at the numbers, like the team impact numbers, they grade out really well on him. I think when you watch him play, especially lately, he's frustrating to watch. I think there's accuracy in both of those assessments. He is such a good rebounder and such a sort of a physical presence that I think he ends up being a net positive for you on the floor, even when he doesn't look good doing it.
Yeah.
But he really hasn't looked good doing it lately, and it's frustrating to see him not finish with more force around the basket, not to catch more cleanly. It feels like he should be much more of an offensive force in the paint than he has been. My hope is that, you know, as big as he is, as strong as he is, in terms, he really does need to get stronger. This happens to everyone pretty much when you come into the NBA. Like, the idea of having the strength to really just get up off the floor quickly and to finish with force around the basket, I think he needs to improve with that. His hands, his recognition, stuff like that needs to improve. I don't know how much more that's going to improve over the rest of the season. I do think having Ja Morant back and getting into more sort of pick and roll stuff with Ja is going to be helpful to him. I have high hopes for Edie, like taking a big step forward next season. I don't know if I have high hopes for him taking a big step forward within this season. And so to me, he's more of a matchup guy. He's the guy who, you know, you have the big center in the mix when the games you need a big center. But I really think as you go into the playoffs, you're going to be leaning more into Santi Aldama and Brandon Clark. And hopefully that changes a year from now. But I think for right now, I think that's what it's going to be.
Have the offensive struggles that he's had surprised you?
No, I mean, he's a better three-point shooter than I expected. Like, he's already hit my over number on three-point shots for the year. They haven't really gone to him in the post. Remember there was that preseason game, I think it was against Indiana, against Chicago, where he, like, settled down. He started getting the ball more like he had at Purdue, and he was really effective. And they just don't do that. And I don't really blame them because there are many better things they can be doing. And they're a top-five offense. And I think if you had a steady diet, Zach Edey post-ups, you would not be a top-five offense. But I do think it's probably slowed him down a little bit in terms of his development. They haven't done as much of the screen roll stuff. We've been talking about that all season. You go back to Summer League. The first game we played in Summer League, like, guys were just launching off of Zach Edey screens, and we were all like, wow, this is going to be awesome when John Morant's doing this. And they've been sort of slow to get to that. So I think he has not been in his comfort zone offensively. My only disappointment with him offensively is he's not been as consistent at catching and finishing like with force in the paint. And I would like to see more of that. I think, I mean, remember, there are a lot of people who thought he was just going to be a bust.
Yeah.
That he was a guy who just couldn't – a year ago this time, when people thought, you know, he was going to be like the 25th pick in the draft. And even when he went to 9, people thought that was a reach, and a lot of people thought he would be a bust. And he's been a little bit of a mixed bag, but he has not been that at all. He is clearly an NBA player, and I think a starting NBA player. But I think he's got a lot of improvement left in him.
Yeah, it's almost like he's kind of been a rookie. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I think what leads to the frustration is he's a rookie that at a position of need for the Grizzlies, right? Is that probably the?
Well, he's a rookie like few others in that he's like, you know, 7'5" and 300 pounds,
right?
And he's 7'5", 300 pounds, and he's not a stiff. He's not Taco Fall, you know.
Yeah.
And so you expect him to like to catch the lob and hammer it home. Not to go up soft and get it blocked, you know. I mean, you expect him to just, you know, to be a little bit more of a monster offensively at that size and that coordination level he has at that size than he has been. And I think more of that's going to come. But I think, you know, it looks like it should be coming more now. But the reality is, as you say, he is a rookie, and I think. I'm excited about what I think he's going to be next season. I think what he's going to be this season is sort of what he's been.
Are you excited about what we're seeing out of Desmond Bane right now?
Bane has been good. There was that one stretch. He had the
oblique.
He missed a few weeks with the oblique, and then he really struggled for a few weeks when he came back. He just was not right. And if you take that out of it, he's been Desmond Bane. And I got a question in this mailbag I'm working on about like his numbers being down. And like his minutes are down because all the guys, star players' minutes are down because of the way they play this season. And his minutes were artificially up last season when he played because of John Morant being out. And so he had the ball so much. He played so many minutes with the ball so much last season that, like, you know, the scoring averages he was putting up a year ago, it's not really something you should expect. And so, yeah, he's down at, like, you know, 18, 19 points a game, which is a little bit less than he'd been before. But his shooting numbers are back. He's Desmond Bane. Like, you know, he's still shooting in the high 40s. He's shooting close to 40% from three, 80-something percent from the line. His rebounding and passing numbers, playmaking numbers are good. I think the turnovers are up a little bit too much for him, and I think that's partly the style of play. But Bane is really good, and what's happened is he has settled into more of a third option role because of what Jaren's done. But that's not like a negative commentary on Desmond Bane. That's a sign of strength for the team that like Desmond Bane can be your third option.
All right, and then how much do you care about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees?
Oh, I care a little bit. You know, you could step back from it and like wonder about like the whole notion of a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the institutionalization of something that was supposed to be.
Well, it's like, does it also
counterculture anyway?
Well, does it also like run against the idea of rock and roll, like a Hall of Fame? Like,
there's that
question.
My thing is that I have long since sort of. It's called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but it's really the American Popular Music Hall of Fame. And my conception is that like rock and roll has become just a stand-in for popular music, and that extends before the mid-50s when rock and roll emerged. And really the quote-unquote rock and roll era probably ended by the mid-70s, but it's just another word for popular music. So you hear people say sometimes, like, you know, how is, like, you know, Stevie Wonder in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? This is actually a Bill Simmons podcast he did once. Why is Stevie Wonder in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? He's not rock and roll. He's Motown, you know, that kind of thing. Which is
Mariah Carey's nominated.
Yeah. And so popular music, right? She's a major figure in American popular music. And that is what it is, even though we call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Does it need a rebranding?
I think it's fine. I think everyone gets it. Everyone understands. To me, Outkast, I don't remember the list. I've seen it. I don't remember all of it. But Outkast, to me, is the slam dunk there.
So the list, the first-time nominees are Bad Company, The Black Crowes, Joe Cocker. That shocked me that he's a first-time nominee.
How are Bad Company and Joe Cocker first-time nominees? I guess I need to brush up on my criteria. Yeah.
Billy Idol, Mana, not familiar with their work. Outkast, as you mentioned, Phish, and then the big one is that Chubby Checker at 83 years old is a first-time nominee.
Yeah, I mean, God love you, Chubby. If you had one novelty hit, like, right, you know, that you did variations on. So, like, I don't think we need Chubby Checker in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I thought the White Stripes were nominees.
The other nominees, and I guess this means they aren't first-time nominees. As mentioned, Mariah Carey. They're including New Order and Joy Division as the same band. That was a little interesting to me. Cyndi Lauper, Oasis. I got to give, I think it was Liam Gallagher. I think he said the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's a bunch of wankers. And then somebody on Twitter said, well, what if you get in? He goes, they're the greatest people ever.
I'm not the biggest Oasis fan, but to me, Oasis, Outkast, and the White Stripes seem like people that should definitely be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Cyndi Lauper's a tough one because I think the first Cyndi Lauper record is like a miracle of a record. I think it's like super great, but it's only just that. It's like you've heard of one hit wonder. She was really a one album wonder, so I don't know about that one.
I feel like she's a bigger personality than you know what I mean? Like Cyndi Lauper, when I think of Cyndi Lauper, it's more of like the look of Cyndi Lauper. And then obviously it's like Girls Wanna Have Fun and Time After Time. All right, Chris, we really appreciate it. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I got nothing.
Okay. I appreciate you coming on today.
All right. Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington, again, of the Daily Memphian. It is time for Writer Than Write Trivia. Let's let everybody know what the prize is today. It is 4 tickets to go see Sebastian Maniscalco and Jim Gaffigan. That's next Friday night at FedEx Forum. 4 tickets to go see massive, massive comedy show next week. The phone number is 901-445-0929, 901-445-0929. We will take caller number 2 next, right here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Kevin Cerrito coming up next, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin Cirino is the MC of Fun and Games here in Memphis. He's also the host of Writer Than Right Trivia, the host of 901 Wrestling, his website, CerritoEntertainment.com. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Good morning, Jeffrey. It's Valentine's week here, so if you're looking for an affordable and fun way to celebrate Valentine's Day this weekend, we've got Love Song Bingo happening Friday night and on Sunday this weekend. So you can join us Friday night at the Hueys on Winchester out at Southwind, or downtown at Ghost River on South Main to play some Love Song Music Bingo. Or Sunday, we're out in Cooper Young at Celtic Crossing. It is free to play, so you can bring your date, listen to some love songs, and have a happy Valentine's weekend. Also, don't forget, today is Galentine's
Day.
Happy Galentine's Day to all the ladies out there, everybody, men and women, invited to play a special all-ladies edition of Music Bingo tonight. So we'll be at Laughlin Yard and downtown in Waldo's and Cordova celebrating Galentine's Day, playing songs just by women, songs only by women, for our Galentine's Day celebration that's happening tonight. Also, free to play.
Free to play at Laughlin Yard. All right, we welcome to the program Craig. Craig is in East Memphis. Craig, this is a good spot for you. This is when I'm hosting. This is when I'm very dumb. Also, Kevin, I feel like I can throw some curveballs here. So, Kevin, I yield to you.
All right, this is Writer Than Right Trivia. Your job's to get more right than Jeffrey. If you do, you will win today's prize. What's today's prize pack?
Where we got 4 tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco and Jim Gaffigan next week at the Forum.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. It'll be funny. You're going to have the choice of 2 categories, Craig. Whichever one you don't choose will automatically go to Jeffrey. You can steal from him one time if he misses a question, and vice versa. We are in the general knowledge era of Writer Than Right Trivia, so I'm going to give you 2 choices. You want to go around the world or around the U.S.?
Let's go U.S., please.
What city has a brand of salsa named after it, Interstate Route 10 running through it, and is the second largest city on the U.S.-Mexican border?
Oh, man.
A brand of salsa named after it, Interstate Route 10 runs through it, and it's the second largest city on the U.S.-Mexican border.
I'll say Juarez, but I don't know.
That's incorrect. Jeffrey, do you want to steal?
I'll steal. Craig, I think you went the wrong direction. It's El Paso.
El Paso.
It is El Paso. Point for Jeffrey here early on. As we go around the world, Jeffrey, for your question. A buried perforated pipe around the perimeter of a home to prevent basement flooding is commonly known as a drain named after what country?
What country?
Buried pipe around the perimeter to prevent flooding.
I don't know what I'm going to say. Turkish.
You do not have one at your home.
It's Turkish. It's wrong, but go ahead.
That is wrong. Craig, do you want to steal?
No steal, please.
All right. We're looking for France because it is a French drain. We're looking for the French drain.
Okay.
That you would get around your house. So France is your answer. Mm-hmm. I believe it's 1-0.
And I've used my steal.
Yeah, nonfiction or fiction, Craig?
Which one's the real fact versus made up? I want that one.
Nonfiction is fact.
Yes, nonfiction. Yes, facts. Nonfiction. The book On the Origin of Species set the groundwork for what scientific theory? The book is On the Origin of Species set the groundwork for what scientific theory?
That's where they go from ape to man. Is that good?
Well, what's going to give anything? There's a couple of different like options that are accessible, acceptable terms that we use to describe this theory.
I think I'm done without Jeff too. I don't know.
All right, I wish we had Calkins to judge here. I would not count that. We are looking for natural selection, or the main one that you would
theory
describe
of evolution.
This theory is the theory of evolution. Yes, the theory of evolution. So no point there. Fiction for you, Jeffrey. Dog Man has been dominating the box office in 2025. The film is based on a graphic novel series that is a spinoff of what book series?
Oh my God.
It's the highest grossing film so far this year. I think it just got knocked off the top spot at the box office, but the highest grossing film of 2025. It's Dog Man. It's based off of a graphic novel that is spun off of another book series.
What is that stupid? Oh God.
Jeffrey is struggling here today on this.
There's another movie. Captain Underpants.
That is correct. You found your way there. Yes, yeah. Captain Underpants.
The drawings are the same.
Correct answer. Yes. So I believe we're at 2-0 for the score, Craig. Dinner or breakfast?
Dinner.
What is the primary ingredient of falafel?
Chickpea.
That is correct. You got a point.
It's 2-1.
Jeffrey, you're going to breakfast. What Flintstones character is the namesake of a popular post cereal brand?
Oh, Pebbles.
Pebbles is correct.
Also, my junior year Halloween costume. My house was the Flintstones.
Really? Wait,
yeah.
Who were you dressed as?
I was Pebbles because I was the
you
short.
You were Pebbles.
Yeah, I had to be Pebbles.
What?
Yeah, that's out there on Facebook for those sleuths out there.
Oh, wow. So this is a Slumdog Millionaire moment.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what's your Halloween costume?
Yep.
All right. Fruity Pebbles, of course, the cereal. We'll go to art or music, Craig. You need some points here.
Music, please.
Fill in the blank. Of course. Okay. So apparently we're all supposed to know the lyrics to this song. That song being Take Me Home, Country Road.
Ah, yes,
you're gonna
of course.
Fill in, you're going to fill in the blank with the missing word from the lyrics to John Denver's Take Me Home, Country Road. So it's one word missing. Almost Heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, blank river.
Shenandoah River.
That is correct.
I don't think I would have known that. Even though I know it's a even though it's a stadium sing-along, of course.
All right. You get to the Blue Ridge Mountains, and then it's just, but hey, Craig knows it.
It's got to fit the meter, too.
Should have been in attendance at the Super Bowl.
Could yeah.
Have, looked like more people were singing along. All right. Art for you, Jeffrey. Fill in the blank space. So I'm going to give you some titles of some Van Gogh paintings. I'm going to give you two Van Gogh paintings. They're both missing the same word from the title. So you tell me what word is missing from the title of both of these Van Gogh paintings. We have Blank Terrace at Night and The Night Blank. It's the same word missing from both blanks. Two different paintings by Van Gogh.
You better get
Blank
it. I'm stealing.
Terrace.
You better get it.
Blank Terrace at Night and The Night Blank. George, are you keeping score here?
It's 3-2, I believe.
I sure am.
All right. It's 3-2?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, one more
this
time.
This will tie
it's
it. If he can steal here.
I only know one of them. I think Cafe.
Oh!
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is what we're looking for. That's all you need to know is one. It's the same word for both. So it's the Cafe Terrace at Night and the Night Cafe. I believe that puts the score at 4-2, right, George?
Correct. Because at first I was like, Scream. And I was like, no, that's not right either.
All right, it's time to wager the final category. Not only is it Valentine's weekend, it's also President's Day weekend. Which is confusing, Jeffrey, because I know we've talked about this on Right or Than Right Trivia on Wednesdays when I'm the company there, or on Jeffrey Wright mm-hmm. Company, I mean, on Wednesdays. So we've talked about it. Because like this, with the Super Bowl moves and lines up with President's Day, is it also going to be impacting Valentine's Day? Is it just going to be a mega weekend, or how is that going to work with the calendar? That just seems going to be tough if we ever have Super Bowl move back to President's Day weekend.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, I think the parade is tomorrow, and there's going to be a lot of people that are like, hey, sweetie, can I go to the parade?
Right. Right. The parade is tomorrow. I hate it when the NFL acts like they're the only thing that exists. Like, come on now. All right. We've got, so the score is 4-2, right? Jeffrey has texted me his wager. We need your wager, Kirk.
Two, please.
Two for him, one for Jeffrey. I don't even want to think about the math. But the final category is presidents because it's President's Day weekend. You want question A or B?
B, please.
B. All right. Going with B. The 20-year curse supposedly fated every U.S. president elected in a year divisible by 20 to die in office. The curse held true from 1840 until what president beat that curse?
That's ridiculous. I'll go with
every president, every U.S. president elected in a year divisible by 20 would die in office until what president was elected?
Lincoln.
The curse started in 1840. Everyone would die in office.
So who
before? So who broke the curse? Who did not die in office? We're looking for who did not die. It started in 1840.
McKinley. I have no idea.
No, he died too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he died. He did die too in 1900. Jeffrey, you know the answer to this.
I'll take a guess. Woodrow Wilson.
No. So the curse started in 1840. Here's where we went. So it started in 1840 with William Henry Harrison died in office. 1860 election with Abraham Lincoln died in office. James Garfield, 1880, died in office. William McKinley, 1900, died in office. Warren G. Harding, 1920, died in office. FDR, 1940, died in office. JFK, 1960, died in office. It was not until 1980 when Ronald Reagan was elected, and you know he almost did die in office.
Yeah, they tried.
Ronald Reagan broke the curse. Since then, of course, W elected in 2000, and Biden survived the curse, being elected in 2020. So your answer was Ronald Reagan. But we went over 100 years of the president always dying in office, elected in that divisible by 20 curse. Jeffrey, you're not going to lose here today, but you want your presidential question?
I do.
What U.S. president is Houston Space Center named after?
Kennedy.
That is incorrect.
Mm. Reagan?
Did he steal? No. No. Sure. Oh, that would be great to have both Reagan questions. But Lyndon B. Johnson.
Oh, Johnson.
The Johnson Space Center.
Oh, God. Dog it. Is Kennedy...
All right. Happy President's Day.
Doesn't Kennedy have something named after him with NASA?
Kennedy Space Center somewhere.
Yeah, I believe this is in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Is that Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, or wherever. Yeah. Is it where we Kennedy launched the rockets Florida. From?
Yeah. But there's definitely a Kennedy one, but that would be in Florida, I believe.
Craig, I believe you played honorably. I've got your information saved, so we thank you for joining us on a spirited game of Right or Than Right trivia.
It was an honor.
Uh-huh, absolutely. Yeah, of course. Is Craig in East Memphis. Kevin, where? Remind me, we've got Ladies Night Bingo, or Music Bingo.
Yeah. Tonight we got Galentine's, but we also got trivia happening, regular general knowledge trivia is happening tonight, where you are guaranteed to hear at least one question, if not more. Usually it's more. Every single night we play trivia, you hear one or more question from Right or Than Right Trivia to give you an advantage for being a loyal listener. So if you come out to trivia tonight or anytime next week, you will be able to quickly answer these challenging questions that you just heard mm-hmm. on the radio.
I'm not even sure they're that challenging. I think the game got in the mud. Yeah.
So RadioEntertainment.com, find the whole schedule. But tonight we're in four different places, including in Midtown at Evergreen Grill, which is on the top of Calkins' list of places to try right now in Memphis. We're at Hampline on Broad Avenue. We're in South Haven at Dan McGinnis and out at Huey Southwind on Winchester.
Kevin, we appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you.
Kevin Cerrito. When we come back, we got some news out of the NFL that we kind of already knew, but I got to talk about it with George because it involves his football team. We'll talk about it next right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, George, the Jets made it official. Even though the news has been out there, it's been reported that, of course, Aaron Rodgers would not be returning. The Jets have issued a statement. Last week, we met with Aaron and shared our intention that our intention was to move in a different direction at quarterback. Coach Aaron Glenn and general manager Darren, is it Moogie?
I think it's Moogie.
Moogie said in a joint statement released by the team, "It was important to have this discussion now to provide clarity and enable each of us the proper time to plan for our respective futures. We want to thank him for the leadership, passion, dedication he brought to the organization and wish him success moving forward." He got WWE future endeavored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just undercut. Gone.
Is the best moment of the Aaron Rodgers era for the Jets him running out of the tunnel with the American flag? Was it on September 11th?
I believe it was.
The Monday Night Football game. It was the Monday Night Football game of opening
Achilles, week. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
But the best moment's just him running out with a flag, right?
Correct.
Were there highs this year?
No, but the issue that I have with the whole situation is that I don't think, like, he did not play that poorly this year. I mean, he still threw 3,800 yards.
No, the second half of the year, he actually quite fine.
Turned it on a little bit at the end of the year. The problem is the expectations were so high, you fire, your head coach, and then your defense goes from top five to bottom five in the span of 2 weeks.
So, I actually think that this is for the best.
Oh, me too. I think
the Giants having the third pick in this draft, not exactly fun, because I don't really think it's a good quarterback draft. If you guys got Cam,
would you be happy with that?
I mean, like everything, you'll talk yourself into it. Like, I still think the bigger problem is a quarterback doesn't fix everything.
That's absolutely
and
true.
The Giants really suck. As I pointed out, since 2012, so the year after we won the Super Bowl, the Giants are tied for the fewest playoff appearances, and they have the third worst record in the NFL. They are closer to the Jaguars than they are to the Lions.
Wow. That's,
yeah.
It's almost impressive.
Yeah. It's also why I think Eli should be graded on a curve. Like, I think everyone thinks, like, oh, Giants, storied franchise. The franchise sucks. They have two periods of success. They had Lawrence Taylor and Eli Manning.
Yeah.
That's part of it. But you just got to bite the bullet and suck again this year. And next year's draft supposedly, allegedly, could be better.
Tank for Arch.
Also, Ryan Burr, formerly of the Golf Channel, reporting that the Jaguars
are
exploring trades for Trevor Lawrence. The Steelers have inquired.
Is that an inquiry thing? Because I don't think they would really go through with that.
If you're the Jaguars, you have to ride it out. I also would think, like, part of Liam Cohen coming in is
the fact they have a quarterback in place. Exactly.
Yeah, that's part of it. All right, let's talk about what we got coming up next. Here is what's coming up next on Jason and John. Drew Hill joins them out from California. He'll be with them at 11:25. Etu Brute, Mark Giannato going to join them at 1:25. Today on Jeffrey Wright and Company, Cobb will be with me. Eric is going to join us. I've gotten confirmation. He will be back from his plane flight. He's going to join us at 2:30. Jason Smith will join us at 3:30. Gabe, of course, will be live from 4 until 7. I want to thank George for being with us. We'll try to do better next time, but for now, our work here is done.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.